Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
I'm optimistic. Some of our main competitors are trying to keep their key people. We're going to keep all our key people next year and be aggressive if we can find better. But we have a great, again.
We're not changing the change. Yeah. If we can improve ourselves, we're going to improve ourselves. But we love our starting five, okay?
Tillman Fertitta just interrupting Daryl Morey.
Been trying to finish his sentence.
It was months before he started calling him out in front of the president and everything. We saw this coming. At least John did. Daryl Morey no longer the GM of the Houston Rockets. Astros, 4 hours away from first pitch. Adam Spillane is getting in the Zoom right now, getting ready to talk to Dusty Baker. We're going to find out who's pitching. Of course, the Texans versus the Titans. There's a lot going on. But let's connect two of those stories. As Daryl Morey is out as GM of the Rockets, some people have said this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but there's a lot of people that really would not be opposed to Daryl Morey, his next challenge being in the Texans front office. What say you, John?
I would, not only would I sign up for it, I would sign up for it today. And I want to go a little further because I said this earlier. It's a little bit of a conspiracy theory, in fact. And who doesn't love a good, conspiracy theory? Figgy? Who is the Cleveland Browns basically general manager? The name is Paul DePodesta. He's their numbers guy.
The numbers guy, yeah.
He's the numbers guy. He is the analytics guy for the Cleveland Browns. Do you know what Paul DePodesta's previous job was?
I believe he was with the Washington
Mets, or the, he was
Wizards.
He was a baseball.
Yeah, he was with the Mets, right?
Yeah, I think he was with the Mets.
They hired someone from Washington, too, before.
Right. So Paul DePodesta, who's an analytics guy, you're going to love this conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I was saving it in my back pocket.
Okay.
I researched it during the break to make sure I was right on this, and I was. So, NFL's Cleveland Browns analytics guy is Paul DePodesta.
Okay.
Formerly a baseball analytics guy.
Right.
What does that mean? It means he switched sports.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take it a step further.
Okay.
Do you know, outside of the Rockets, growing up and most of his life, do you know where Daryl Morey is from and what his favorite teams are?
I don't.
He grew up an enormous Cleveland Cavaliers fan and Cleveland Browns fan.
Mm.
Okay.
He knows Paul DePodesta.
Okay.
Mm.
Daryl Morey and Paul DePodesta are friends.
Okay.
Daryl Morey is from Cleveland.
Okay. Mm.
Daryl Morey knows Paul DePodesta went from baseball to football. We can only imagine they have had this conversation. Daryl Morey and DePodesta are both analytics guys.
So you're saying he's going to the Browns?
I'm saying
he might get in football.
He might have talked about the Texans a little bit and switch into the NFL.
This football thing, pretty cool, man.
Yeah. From Cleveland, knows their guy, that switched sports. He's an analytics guy. Oh, and oh, by the way, add a little cherry on top. I believe they've both, you know, that MIT event that they go to every year, the executive.
I think I know about that.
And, who am I talking to? Every year.
Talking about if you were talking about a porn convention or beer fest in Denver, I might be able to help you.
No, he's the officially DePodesta is the chief strategy officer for the Cleveland Browns. He was the Moneyball guy for the in baseball before that. And he and Daryl Morey are friends, and Daryl Morey is from Cleveland, grew up a Browns and Cavaliers fan.
It's really just about the line that you've used all the time, talking about Daryl Morey out as Rockets GM. If it would make sense for the Texans, it's really kind of just about, you said it yesterday, knowing what you don't know. And I think that the two most important members of the Texans organization before two Mondays ago when Bill O'Brien was fired, they didn't really know what they didn't know. I think they thought that they knew everything about everything.
And yeah.
They had one of the worst off seasons in the history of this organization.
Yeah.
I think Daryl Morey would know what he doesn't know, and he would put the right guys around him.
And again, math doesn't wear a jersey. I just illustrated that. Dude was in a baseball, a numbers cruncher, money ball, analytics guy, says, I'm going to do football. How the Cleveland Browns doing?
Pretty good this year.
4-1, something like that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, I would sign up in a heartbeat.
I really don't think it's that far-fetched. Jeff Luhnow wasn't really a baseball guy before he went to the Cardinals, and he ended up being the best general manager this city's ever seen. There's been some unconventional paths. And a lot of times when these brilliant guys like Daryl Morey, and he's brilliant, let's be honest. You can say what you want to say about him. He's a brilliant guy. When they are doing the same thing for 13 years, they kind of get bored, man. But as soon as they take on that new challenge, my goodness, they just soak it in and they thrive. A lot of times these geniuses do. Like, have you ever known like a genius who just suddenly decides to do something
and they can do it?
And it's like, okay, I didn't think you were really into that.
Well, that wasn't really a challenge.
All of a sudden you're cross-stitching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different, but in the big scheme of things, it's kind of the same in the front office. Like, the front office is a front office. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into it, a lot more scouting. The draft is obviously a lot more important. I think he would understand that. But I don't think it's the craziest idea for Daryl Morey to be in this organization.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you this. Would you rather have Daryl Morey in the organization or Jack Easterby?
Oh, how fast do you want me to answer that? Daryl Morey, 100%.
Well, let me start by saying,
yeah, 100%. It's the Sloan, the MIT Sloan Sports Conference. And add another layer to this, DePodesta has gone to the Sloan Sports Conference that Daryl Morey created. Interesting.
This would be crazy. Adam Spillane is going to join us shortly. Dusty Baker is about to get on the Zoom. He's going to tell us who the Astros are going to start today at 4 o'clock. It's going to be a bullpen game. Going to be interesting. Adam will get off the Zoom with Dusty, and he'll come right here to Sports Radio 610 to talk about this game. He'll probably touch on this Rockets situation as well because he does a good job covering that.
Well, Adam and I had, and you obviously had this discussion not long ago, right after the Rockets were eliminated, about Daryl Morey as well, when we were kicking it around that he may not stay with this club. We're on a roll with these predictions, man.
Technology. It can be a BIA. Mike Vrabel learned that the hard way yesterday. This is what we've all become used to in this Zoom life. The Wi-Fi going out. Mike Vrabel, coach.
It looks like I'm still muted, though. Can you hear me, Bill?
That's Mark Berman having to go through it. Here's Mike Vrabel getting a little frustrated days away from Texans versus Titans on Sunday.
Mike, are you, optimistic about getting some more guys off the COVID list? How do you kind of manage that throughout the course and continue with that, the situation with Fulton coming up and being active last night? You just didn't feel comfortable turning him loose without Pratt.
Sure. You know, Jim, we're going to ask from now on that you type your questions into the chat room and that you no longer get to talk anymore, or you'll have to go through Ashley. Maybe you could send your questions to Ashley, and then Ashley could ask them. But we are hopeful that some of those players would return that are on the COVID list here in the next few days. After that, I have no idea. I stopped actually listening.
And I think my Wi-Fi is going in and out.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it definitely is.
He's Vrabel's just, you know, he's intense, but not.
He's like, got dry humor.
It's not like Bill O'Brien was like, it was like an irritating intense.
He's got dry
humor.
And
of course, we were around him all the time. He's more of a bearable, you know, coach type intensity, not like irritating.
He's dry humor. Mm-hmm. I like Mike Vrabel. J.J. Watt's been kind of in a weird mood lately. Kind of a good mood, but kind of like a little bit of a shade throwing mood. Here's J.J. Watt yesterday, cracking jokes and being really short with Mark Berman.
We all kind of knew going into this year that it wasn't going to be a normal year, and so it's going to continue to kind of be different, I'm sure. Sorry, I can't keep my concentration. Barry Warner just splashed on the screen a Rolling Stones t-shirt. And I lost all train of thought.
JJ, some thoughts about the league deciding to not have the Pro Bowl this year, but just on that Pro Bowl rosters, but no game. They're going to do some things to engage the players to replace that. What do you think about that?
No problem. Sounds good.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
That sounds like quite a plan.
Is that one of the weirdest brain farts you've ever seen from Mark Berman? The guy who has a buffet, an AK-47 buffet of local storylines. Mm-hmm. You got Clowney coming back. You got J.J. coming back. You got Mike Vrabel coming back. You got the old Oilers versus the Titans. You got Tim Kelly versus Dennis Kelly. You got Romeo versus one of the guys that he mentored in Romeo Crennel. And the king of Localize It. Actually, the prince of Localize It. This show is the king of Localize It. The prince of Localize It asks about the Pro Bowl during J.J. Watt's media availability. I thought Mark Berman would be more on his game this week. There's a lot going on around here. He didn't really localize it anymore. That's one that I think he would like to have back.
If I can remember what it is, I'll come back to
Berman,
you.
Berman.
Maybe you forgot.
Berman not being on his game is almost as shocking. What's more shocking? Mark Berman not being on his game during one of the craziest local weeks in sports that we've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zach Greinke smiling.
Still got to be Zach Greinke smiling. Still. By the way, there's a little bit of an update on the Astros tonight, and we're going to have Adam Spillane joining us next. But
yeah, he's with Dusty in the Zoom right now.
Well, the Rays have named their starter.
Okay.
It's an opener.
Former my opponent.
They're going with an opener, a one inning or maybe one plus inning.
I love that.
John Curtis.
I love that. They're overthinking
it. Okay, who's reporting?
They're overthinking that.
We are.
This is – I was
Who?
On with – We. I was on with Meltz this morning on Mad Dog Radio, Mike Meltzer. And he asked about the Rays and how the Astros win. If the Rays start thinking they're way smarter than they are and they start out thinking themselves and moving all these guys around and doing that, that's the key. The opener, that's great news for the Astros.
Yeah, John Curtis.
The Astros are going to have to do it as well. But I love that news. That's going to be great. Happy hour day today. 4 p.m. first pitch. 4 p.m.-ish happy hour. This is a happy hour bar restaurant type of day for the Astros. You best believe I'll be somewhere. Guarantee that. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Did J.J. Watt call out Bill O'Brien yet again? That's next.
He sucks at football.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
J.J. Watt, man. It's very obvious he hated King Bill. You can read between the lines. He talked about the fans being united for the first time. He continues to take drive-bys at King Bill. One that I really appreciated was yesterday, and it's something that we've made fun of for a long time. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. And talk to Adam Spillane right after he gets off the Zoom with Dusty in a sec. Get a little clearer picture of what's going to go down with the Stros at 4. in that win or go home game. Daryl Morey out as GM. But rookies all over the NFL, all across the NFL, it seems like they're contributing. Everybody has rookies contributing, it seems like. I don't have stats in front of me, but it just seems like whether it's the Baltimore Ravens, who had Patrick Queen as the defensive rookie of the week this week in the AFC. They have four guys starting, two other guys contributing. The
rookies know things.
Have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We saw the Jags. A rookie caught a touchdown. Another rookie was making plays. We saw a rookie making plays against the Texans with the Steelers. Rookies are all over the place making plays.
Yeah.
What did Bill O'Brien say about rookies as far as how they were?
Rookies.
The rookies just, they don't know
they
anything.
Don't know anything.
That's what he said. And rookies had a hard time getting on the field with Bill O'Brien. And you've always said that his coaching style is not to put guys in the best position possible and make them comfortable and make it a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
What have you always said about Bill O'Brien's coaching style and who he coaches for?
He doesn't coach for his team. He coaches for other coaches. I mean that. I really, really mean that. I think he's one of those guys that likes to, let me show you how much football I know. Let's make it as complicated as possible so we can really, really outsmart the other team, and everybody will understand that it was my triple Lindy offense, you know, that that was the reason we won, not your talent.
I feel like whenever the king is gone, the guys that had to answer to the king, they kind of give you like a little better sense of what things were like. They take you in the meeting room, or they take you in and they let you know just how bad it was. And I think J.J. Watt did that yesterday when it comes to the rookies and the young guys. And I think this is a quote that I really appreciate from J.J. Watt. And I think it basically summarizes what we've been talking about with rookies this year and in years before, maybe not getting the education and the preparation they needed from King Bill, because he was basically coaching for other coaches and trying to make himself seem smarter. This is J.J. Watt talking about what he thinks the rookies, what their mindset should be as the Texans try to stack up wins.
Obviously, the past 6 or 7 years, we've had division titles, but not much past that. The sense of urgency is always, it always has to be there. And getting the young guys to understand it, right now, we just want to win one game. So I'm not sitting here trying to convince these guys how hard it is. I want to win one game.
I mean, that's true. But I think, you know, when you couple that with the fact that he very, very adamantly called out Ross Blacklock, I think he's showing a little frustration with how these rookies have come along and been brought along.
But just listen to what he said there, though. Go back and listen. He's saying that he's not trying to convince these guys how hard things are. I think that goes to the Bill O'Brien line of thinking.
That too, that's a good point.
Yeah, here is J.J. Watt again on that.
Obviously, the past 6 or 7 years, we've had division titles, but not much past that. The sense of urgency is always, it always has to be there. And getting the young guys to understand it, right now, we just want to win one game. So I'm not sitting here trying to convince these guys how hard it is. I want to win one game.
I'm not trying to convince them how hard it is. I feel like Bill O'Brien would try to do that with the rookies.
Yeah.
I think it would get in their own way. And that's why you'd see Ross Blacklock, Gernard, and maybe he can't evaluate talent, which is, we already know he can't trade. So maybe he just can't evaluate talent, and these guys just aren't players, and that's another obstacle.
Especially defensive guys. And we've talked about this. A lot of people have talked about it. It's not as hard as these coaches make it out to be. Yes, you know, there are smart, smart football people in the NFL. You know, that's not exactly breaking news. And you have to disguise things. You have to move people around. You have to set matchups. But it's not as hard as they make it out to be. And I think Bill O'Brien.
You understand how hard it is to win in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Bill O'Brien lived on just making it really, really hard and outsmarting people with X's and O's when it didn't, you know, see ball, get ball, man. You know?
It's a more simple game than guys like Bill O'Brien make it out to be.
Yeah.
And that's something that Seth Payne said. But J.J. just kind of continues to take, I think, subtle shots at Bill O'Brien and calling him out. A not-so-subtle shot yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Greinke of the Houston Astros. Zach Greinke goes out there. He gets through six innings. Looked like Dusty was going to go take the ball from him in the sixth, much like A.J. Hinch did the last time the Astros were playing an elimination game. Instead, Dusty trusts Zach Greinke, lets him get out of trouble, and Zach Greinke ends up striking a man out with the bases loaded and a full count. Here was Zach Greinke, and this basically confirmed my anger at A.J. Hinch for taking the ball from Zach Greinke. This is some candid stuff, some candid real talk from Zach Greinke talking about Dusty Baker doing what A.J. Hinch didn't do in the World Series last year, believing in him to get out of trouble with your backs against the wall in a win-or-go-home game.
Dusty came out there in the sixth that he was going to stick with you there?
Yeah, I was surprised for sure.
Would you tell Dusty, you know, after you got a chance to talk to him about his decision and to keep you in and you know, trust you to finish that inning?
I was just saying it was nice having someone have confidence in me because, since I've been here, they haven't seemed to have confidence in my ability. So it was nice having that happen in an important time like that.
What was that situation like from your perspective, just that conversation and how it played out?
Since I guess someone else told you, yeah, Maldi said that I was looking good and that I could get out of it. I mean, like I said, I thought it was nice having some guys have confidence in you. So that was good. And knew it was an important time, and it was a tough part of their lineup. I mean, if it didn't work, then things would be different, but it worked out and felt good all the way around.
Zach, you mentioned a couple times about the importance of them showing confidence in you and maybe that it hasn't happened in the past. Are you talking a little bit about Game 7 last year? Because Game 7, you were rolling along and had to come out early. Is that stuck with you?
I mean, that was one example, but there's probably a dozen examples if you look back at it.
That to me is what stood out. You could tell that he was more irritated with A.J. Hinch or whomever. It could have been, obviously, you know, pitching coach there, Brent Strom, as well.
I was, too.
He was irritated more than just in Game 7 of the World Series about how they handled him. So, yeah, what a big roll of the dice by Dusty. But Maldonado, man, said, don't worry about it. He's got it.
And Dusty's instincts paid off, and now the Astros playing a game today that it's going to be difficult to win, very difficult to win. But if they win this, I mean, it gets real interesting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It gets real interesting tomorrow. I think Tampa Bay still feels pretty good about themselves. But if the Astros win this one, look out.
That's when the swagger comes into play. The fact that they've been there and they've won it, you know, and they've been to, you know, all these straight consecutive ALCS championships. That's when that starts to be a factor, a direct factor on the game. So far it hasn't, you know, because the Rays just came in and they've been benefiting from great defense and timely hitting.
I think as far as being down 3-0 with Jose Altuve having the yips, I feel like Dusty, I don't think he's like the ideal in-game manager a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
but I think in that situation, I think he's perfect. He had his arm around Altuve. He trusts in Greinke. He's just got that OG calming presence. I feel like in this situation, Dusty is the perfect guy. Now, if we have a Game 7, that can change. But with your back completely against the wall, all hope appearing to be lost, Jose Altuve seeing ghosts, I think Dusty was the perfect guy. And I don't know if Dusty's going to be back next year or not. I know the option's gotten picked up, but there's speculation as to whether or not he's going to be back.
Or wants to be.
I think he won over these guys last year. Yesterday. I think Dusty did his thing. And I'm very intrigued to hear from Adam Spillane. Apparently they're getting the Zoom ready right now as to what we're going to see on the bump when the Astros start. We're going to see a lot, but what are we going to see first? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be what Adam Spillane calls the nerdiest game of all time. 4:00. I'm calling it a
happy
hour.
Well, we already have a hint of that nerdium, or whatever it is, with the Rays starting an opener in John Curtis. But back to Dusty Baker, it's not just the calming influence and that he's an OG. How many of those pitching visits has he made? He started playing in Major League Baseball when I was 6 years old.
He was
old.
My dad's favorite player growing up.
When I was 6 years old.
I'm not kidding. He was literally my dad's favorite player.
Yeah. You know, they call me OG. You call me OG. I was 6 when Dusty Baker was in the major leagues.
He has a 21-year-old son, though.
Well, it's good work if you can get it. So he's been on these mound visits.
You don't need no blue chew, Sean.
How do you know? He's seen pitchers' faces. He knows the look. He's talked to catchers. He's been in the game. He's been on that mound having these discussions for 52 years, excuse me. I think he used his instincts there.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Dusty Baker meeting with our own Adam Spillane of SportsRadio610.com. We're going to give you the latest on who we're going to see on the mound at 4, and we're also going to do a little bit of throwback Thursday lab work. When the guys who are on the field Sunday, we're blue chippers next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Man, I loved my childhood.
I know you loved your childhood, John. You don't do blow in Mexican restaurants and not have a good childhood.
Dude.
But I would have loved nothing more than to have been so good at football that basically I have grown-ass men wanting to give me money, mm-hmm. wanting to take me to meet chicks, begging me to come play football for their school. It had the life of a blue chip had to be great. And we're talking top of the line five star.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking the guy that's getting a few offers, the three star. We're talking the creme de la creme, top of the line blue chip.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of those on the field on Sunday. And since it is Thursday, hashtag TBT, I went in the lab and I got some sounds of some of the most heavily recruited guys that will be on display on Sunday, starting with the quarterback of the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was the number one quarterback in the country. Straight out of Gainesville, Georgia, Deshaun Watson was a local hero.
Absolutely.
Here's a local news story.
Legendary.
Local heroes get local news stories. Here's Deshaun Watson back when he was a blue chip and a big man on campus. And you're going to hear some highlights in the background. Just ignore that. Here's Deshaun Watson, little news story on the stars of tomorrow out there in the GA.
Georgia is a state that year in and year out is loaded with top football prospects. NFL stars like Richard Dent, Mel Blount, Champ Bailey, and Herschel Walker all came from the Peach State. To stand out in a state like this, a player has to be pretty unique. Deshaun Watson certainly is, and it's not just because he plays for Gainesville High School, which has one of the country's most unusual mascots, the Red Elephants.
We love it. Only high school in the country to have that mascot, so it's great.
Gainesville High has been around for 120 years, and the Red Elephants have played for the state title six times, but they had never won it until 2012, when their then-junior quarterback became a star on the biggest stage in the state.
I always wanted to play for a state championship, and actually I told one of my friends in seventh grade that my junior year, we're going to go to the state championship and win it, and, you know, it happened. So that was a big thing, and, you know, I told myself and my teammates that, hey, we're going to, that night, we're going to, you know, turn up and, you know, win it and bring that first state championship home to Gainesville.
And he's verbally committed to play his college ball at Clemson. Deshaun is excited for the opportunity to play for Dabo Swinney and run Chad Morris's offense.
You know, I think I fit perfectly in that offense, and you know, I love the spread and love fast tempo and love, you know, running the ball and throwing the ball, so I think his offense is great.
And if things go as well there as they have in Gainesville, Deshaun could add his name to a long list of greats from the state of Georgia.
Now, I'm not trying to jinx him or anything, but if he can stay healthy and keep his head on straight and make great decisions, which he's done in high school, I think the ceiling, that who knows where he can go.
Michael Jordan.
I think he could be a quarterback in the NFL one day.
Deshaun, though, has a few more things to do before he heads to college, including one more special season for the Red Elephants.
Cherish these moments with my teammates and people I grew up with, and, you know, just don't take anything for granted. You know, you got to play every game like it's your fullest and like it's your last. So, you know, I'm just going to have fun and, you know, cherish this last year.
It's Deshaun right there.
He hasn't changed.
Right in Clemson.
He hasn't wavered from his brand at all.
I think his coach sounded like probably 60% of the high school football coaches in the country. I'll tell you what, he keeps his head on straight. He goes out there.
Yeah, but he knew his stuff.
Keeps knowing his assignments. I'll tell you what, sky's the limit for him. He could be a hell of a ball player, I promise
you.
Yep. The team would be lucky to have that old Deshaun Watson. Derrick Henry, five-star from Florida. Everybody wanted him. Originally committed to Georgia. Mm-hmm. Throwback Thursday lab work here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. This was Derrick Henry after he rushed for 376 yards and five touchdowns. Talking about the people in the stands watching him.
I saw a couple coaches in the house tonight, Clemson, Georgia, to kind of check in on you, see how you're doing. What's it like having, you know, big time BCS level coaches coming in to, you know, watch games? I'm sure that's happening every week for you now.
That's motivation, baby. You know what I'm saying? When I see them on the sideline, that's go time. That's go time, man. Give them faith to watching me keep that dog thing rolling, baby.
You're a Georgia commit. That's a big game tomorrow here just down the road in Jacksonville, Georgia, Florida. Any predictions?
I'm a Gator fan, so go Gators. I'm sorry. Go Gators. I'm still a Gator fan, so go Gators. But I'm a dog right now.
Now tell me how that works. You being a Georgia commitment, but a Florida Gators fan. How does that kind of work out for you?
Oh, yeah. When you're a kid, you always got a number one team. When you get in high school, you got colleges coming at you. And I mean, this is depending on your life and where you're going to spend your four years at, your degree and stuff like that. And you just try to develop with a coach and analyze the football team. And that's what I'm going to do tomorrow, analyze Florida and Georgia. You never know what can happen. But you know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm just analyzing. I'm committed to Georgia. Florida's still my team. But it's different when you're in high school and you can recruit it.
I know a lot of teams are still after you. Alabama, Florida, all the other schools, they're not worried about that Georgia commitment. How do you kind of approach that, knowing that they're still coming after you?
I'm saying is staying humble and thanking God every day and get my schoolwork and study for SAT tests and ACT. Because you got to get through that to get to college. But college keep on coming. All the letters I get, I just keep it motivation in the classroom, on the field, and just trying to get through school so I can get to college.
Alabama, LSU, you excited about that? It's kind of the pre-national championship.
Yeah, that's going to be live, and that's really college atmosphere in the big game. Just see how it is. I've never been to a game like that, number one, number two, going head-to-head, so that's going to be amazing.
Thanks a lot, Derek. Justin Wallace for Gator Country TV.
I wouldn't have wanted to be a Georgia fan just then. Hey, so you committed to Georgia. Georgia, Florida tomorrow. Go Gators. Dude, that's not a good sign. That means he just cashed a check.
Derrick Henry won a national championship. Deshaun won a national championship. Those blue chips paid off for their respected schools. Laramie Tunsil. Left tackle for the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Number one offensive lineman in the country.
By far that year.
And he was soaking it up.
Yep.
My goodness, was he ever soaking it up. He was a Florida guy. He went to the University of Florida campus. And these creepy recruiting people just start grilling this young man, which he actually seemed like he liked. Laramie liked the attention a little bit. He ended up at Ole Miss. Don't know how.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
But he ended up at Ole Miss somehow. Not sure why. How? Although there were reports and stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Laramie Tunsil on In the Loop Lab Work Throwback Thursday audio. Just getting grilled by media types when he's taking his visit to Florida.
How is Georgia?
Oh, I love Georgia. Really, yeah. Real nice. I like everything about Georgia.
How about Alabama? How was that?
I like Alabama, too. Real nice, real nice.
Which one would you say was the best one, facility-wise?
I got to give it to Alabama.
Alabama?
They weight room big.
Does that kind of hurt Florida's chances that they can't wow you like these other schools?
Not really.
Does anyone have a lead?
Sure.
You sure about that? I think you know who your leader is.
I'm trying to tweet here. Just kidding.
What does somebody have to do to take the lead for you?
I don't know. It's a tie right now with all of them.
And last thing, who would you say is recruiting you the hardest?
Florida. Got to give it to Florida.
As your process goes on that you're going to let coaches know, when they're out of the runnings, have you started doing that?
Yeah, I let a lot of people know.
Who did you let know? Who was in the runnings before?
Who was in the runnings before I let know? Like Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it in school.
Because I know like USC, you had talked about wanting to see that.
Want to see USC how they are.
Have you thought of the rest of your officials?
USC, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. What is it about Ole Miss that makes you want to go out there? Is it that movie that made you want to go out there?
Not really.
Not really. Not really. It wasn't the movie.
Throwback Thursday
audio. He ain't lying.
Final piece of Throwback Thursday audio before we hear from Adam Spillane and find out what this Astros game is going to look like. Jadeveon Clowney, former Texan, current Titan. You know you're big time when ESPN interrupts SportsCenter to let you make your college announcement.
The top-rated high school recruit on the ESPNU Top 150 list joining us live now in advance of his big announcement. How tough a decision has this been for you to make?
It's been very hard. People coming at me from all different ways.
Well, it is a decision that is now yours to make. Again, live here on SportsCenter, Jadeveon Clowney. Where are you headed next year?
I'm headed to the University of South Carolina.
Ultimately, why did you choose South Carolina?
I chose it because it's close to home. My mom would come see me play all the time.
How close were you to choosing Alabama and Clemson, again, the other schools that you were reported to have been considering?
Oh, when I went to Alabama, I was very close to choosing Alabama. I had fun down there. I really didn't want to come back home. But my mom ain't like it because it was too far.
We're going to let you get back to it, Jadeveon, but congratulations from all of us here at SportsCenter.
Yeah, it's Throwback Thursday lab work. Astros versus Rays, game 5, 4-ish Adam Spillane just got off the Zoom with Dusty Baker. Let's get the news from him.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
All right. Best baseball mind in town. Adam Spillane, SportsRadio610.com. Got off the Zoom with Dusty. Adam, who are we going to see on the bump for the Stros?
The 23-year-old Luis Garcia will get the start for the Astros in Game 5. He's a guy who had not pitched above high A before he made his major league debut in September. He's made one big league start, but he is going to be the starter for Game 5 of the ALCS.
What is the length of time that we can expect to see Luis Garcia? How much of a bullpen game is this going to be? Is it going to be a wait and see? Are we thinking one time through the order? What are we thinking in an ideal scenario that we see from Luis Garcia?
I think that they are hoping to get one trip through the order for him, but if he's going good, then they might just let him roll. I mean, he's a young kid. The Rays have never seen him before, so there's a little bit of an advantage there. But if he's struggling, if he's fighting it a little bit, they will certainly be quick to get him out of the game. But I think by using Garcia, they're trying to make this more of a traditional game, or I guess as much of a traditional game as they can.
Now, Luis Garcia, as you just mentioned, really has only been around a couple of months at the most. But that's not to say, just because he was in high A ball before he came to the Astros, it's not to say that he doesn't have really, really good stuff that is highly regarded, right?
No, for sure. They really like him. That's why they brought him up in September to give him a look. And that's why they added him to the roster. He wasn't on, they added him to the roster for the ALDS because they like him, because they think that he can get guys out. And they like this matchup for him because he's a fastball changeup guy, and the Rays have so many left-handed hitters that changeup can really be a weapon for him. So the Rays are going to start four left-handed hitters in their lineup today. Dusty Baker said that it's hard to really match up with the Rays just because of how interchangeable all their guys are. I mean, they have 14 position players on their roster, and all 14 have started through the first four games of this series. They have seven lefties. They have seven righties. They will use anyone in any situation. And so you can't really start thinking about the matchups early in the game. So they're going to go with a traditional starting pitcher, a starting pitcher who has the stuff to get lefties out, and they're just going to see how it goes.
Talking to Adam Spillane a few hours, about 4 hours-ish, 3 hours plus until the Astros take on the Rays. This is the game right here. This is really the game where you can make this interesting if you're the Astros. This is going to be a game. I talked to you yesterday on the postgame show. I thought this was an uphill battle, but you don't necessarily think that this is too difficult of a task for the Astros. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it wouldn't be the most shocking thing to you if the Astros were able to pull this off.
I wouldn't say that. I think that winning four straight games against the Rays is really, really tough to do. That's just how good they are. They won 40 games during the regular season.
I was just talking about today's game. My bad, Adam.
No. Today, it's one game, and all you need is for maybe one hitter to get hot. Maybe you get a call. Maybe you get a break here or there. So, no, there's no question that they can win this game. The Rays are going to probably see a different pitcher every plate appearance. I mean, maybe the guys at the top see Garcia twice, maybe. But after that, you're not going to be able to get comfortable in the box. And so, all you need is one Rays reliever, because they're going with a bullpen game today as well, in all likelihood. I mean, they're going to start John Curtis. Opener. So it appears that they're going with a bullpen game. Now, obviously, their bullpen is really good, and they've got a ton of depth. But all it takes is one guy to blow up. And one guy blows up, and now all of a sudden everything's different. And if they can somehow get this game today, then all of a sudden this is a brand-new series, because the Astros are set up to have Framber Valdez and Lance McCullers start on full rest for Game 6 and 7 if they can get there. And I think that they really like their chances if that happens. A couple of things. Ryan Pressly said that his hamstring kind of flared up on him yesterday when he was in the game, but it sounds like he's okay. Michael Brantley had X-rays done after he fouled the ball off in the same spot, two straight pitches.
Twice.
The X-rays came back negative, but he's going to DH today. So there are some things that are coming up, and it does seem like Kevin Kiermaier is not available to hit for the Rays as they don't start him in back-to-back games.
All right. Look, there's still some other things to cover with the Astros, but we have to get to, before we let you go, we have to get to Daryl Morey. You came on our show not long ago, and I posed the question to you, or at least I made the the point. I'm not so sure Daryl Morey is a lock to hang around. You agreed. So I'm guessing this isn't a total surprise to you. Maybe the timing, not a total surprise to you, but what's going on there?
I don't – the timing is odd, obviously, and I thought that maybe if they would move on from him right after the season, but to wait – what has it been, a month and a half since they lost to the Lakers? So everyone makes it seem like this was a mutual thing. Like Daryl just it almost feels like Daryl had enough, and Daryl was maybe worn out by the whole thing. And, you know, he's had that job for a long time, and these are really stressful jobs. I don't think people tend to understand that having that job for what he had the job for, what, 13, 14 years?
13. Well, 14 in the organization, 13 as general manager.
That's a long time in NBA years to be an executive, and yeah. I don't think that there are many guys that have had the job longer than he has in the league. So I don't think that it should be totally surprising. I don't think that this is, you know, necessarily a Tillman thing. It kind of feels like it might be. But I think that he maybe was just worn down by the whole thing and just needed to get away from it for a little bit. I think sometimes you need that in these jobs.
Adam Spillane with us, SportsRadio610.com, covers the Astros. He'll be on the scene tonight. Real quick before we get you out of here, Spo, Astros win if, Astros lose if.
The Astros win if Garcia gets them off to a good start and the other guys fall in line right after. They lose if Garcia blows up and they start off the game really poorly.
There we go.
I think the first couple of innings may tell the whole story of this game.
Sure. It's going to be interesting, man. I'm excited for it. I'm very intrigued, man. I know you'll be all over it. I know you'll do some do what you do for SportsRadio610.com. Adam, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, then. Y'all have a good one.
That's our guy, Adam Spillane, Sports Radio 610. I'm always intrigued by these kids who are in their 20s, who the other team really hasn't seen.
Yeah.
And they go out there. And
it can
you
go both ways, though.
It can be a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be 3 minutes. There could be the bases loaded with no outs, and this kid's out there sweating bullets. But there can also be this kid goes out there.
Yeah, because they don't see him.
And they haven't seen him, and he just he gives you six quality innings. That's the intrigue here. And we did see it from the Astros early on in the season with these young guys who Brandon Belak comes to mind. The other team hadn't seen him. He looks like a stud, but then they catch up to him. It's an advantage for the Astros, and I'm intrigued to see what goes down.
I'm intrigued by this. I just saw – I'm not going to take credit for it. I just saw on Twitter. Last year, 2019, three of the four starters in the starting rotation for the Class A Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Three of the four starters for the Class A Fayetteville Woodpeckers were Paredes, Christian Javier, and Luis Garcia. All three have pitched in the ALCS.
Did the Peckers win the championship?
God, I hope so. Their manager should be fired if they didn't. Last year, these three dudes were playing for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. And all three are playing in the ALCS.
You think Clint's ever watched the Peckers
is
play?
Is it North Carolina or Arkansas Fayetteville? There's two good prominent Fayettevilles. I'll have to look it up.
I'm not an Astros minor league expert.
I remember the Arkansas Drillers, I think, is a big minor league team, but I don't know if they're from Fayetteville.
Fayetteville Woodpeckers?
Yeah. I bet you that's North Carolina.
Damn, dude. It'd be cool if it was Arkansas. Yeah, it's Carolina League.
Yeah.
Astros.
I think the Arkansas Drillers are the one in Fayetteville, but I could be wrong. They may have changed their name.
North Carolina. Man, my goodness. Pretend we're in North Carolina right now. Ask me what I'm doing. Just say, hey, what are you doing?
Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm going to go see the Peckers play tonight.
That's what they call them in headlines, right? Some headline writer has a lot of fun with that. Peckers win.
It's a pretty dirty logo, too, by the way. Look at this guy's nose.
Let me see.
Look at this guy's nose. Look at this woodpecker's nose.
Oh, come on. You're not even hiding it.
How dirty are they?
You're not even
how
hiding it.
How dirty can you be? Shout out to the Peckers. Shout out to the
I'm going to wear my Fayetteville Woodpeckers hat today.
4 o'clock first pitch. Let's go around the NFL. A lot going on with the old Oilers. A lot going on off the field and on the field in the NFL. Around the league next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.